This is about me. A lot of what I guess this is my, this must be someday, this must be my competitive day, not my educational day. Today's about winning and how you can help yourself to win and how to compete. This is the advice I would give to any policy debate coach, whether it's high school, college, or whatever. And so, once again, we're going to repeat some of my learnings from yesterday. Your style and the way you do things, your skills, your school, your students. Don't feel like what I'm giving you is a rigid rule book you have to go by. They're merely ideas that you can adapt and use to the extent that they work for you. The way I try to motivate students to cooperate with me in this regard is to tell them that if they want to win, they need to prepare to win. You need to strategize and you need to prepare if you want to win. And I used this work metaphor I used yesterday, that if you want to beat your opponents in football or in basketball or most sports, you scout them, find out what they do, you prepare to beat them, and then you beat them. Right? It's very simple. And this is the application of their process to debate. I'd like to divide this into three central sections. The first would be strategic coaching before the school year starts. So, pre-season. Strategic coaching. It will be hard for you to do this. Some of you, if you don't have the basics yet. But I think I would still have to share it with you for the next year. And ideas of doing some of this early in the season. This is trying to take your knowledge of the debate topic, anything you might have acquired from debate institutes, and trying to put it together so that your students have argument pieces. Strategic coaching is very much about getting the arguments you need to beat your opponents, to having your students help you, and to have them prepare it. And then figuring out strategies for them to use. So let's start by talking about selecting an affirmative case. In preseason, an affirmative case you want to start with. Let me just say that, in general, for beginning debaters, I think it's best for them to have an affirmative case, which is fairly simple, for which there are negative arguments. And I think it's a bad idea to have new debaters run some kind of trick case. For example, a case that said that there are 15 schools that are using a certain kind of paint, and if they use too much of it, it gets in the air, and it makes the students dizzy, so they don't learn much. So their affirmative case is to take a certain kind of paint out of 15 schools. That's not going to generate a very broad-based, interesting debate for your students. So have your beginning students use something that people are fairly familiar with and then that they can learn something from. And don't be afraid to have them use what we call a stop case, something that they can understand and other people can debate. I'm not so interested in whether my novices win a lot of debates early on. I really want them to prepare to win later. That's really what I think it's all about, so I try to give them an affirmative case that is useful for them. You will probably find one of the affirmative cases that comes out of the institute will work quite well for them. Something that, and then there are a number of them which are being prepared. They can choose the one that they think is good. And it's very important for you to have your copy of the institute evidence. And then you always have that. Don't lose that. If you give it to someone else, make sure they get a copy and then they have it so that you always have it, because people will lose stuff, your students will lose it, your coaching colleagues will lose it. But if you have one copy always, then you won't lose it. And if you decide, I think our novices should use this affirmative case about multicultural education, then you have a copy, you know what it says, and you can distribute it to them a little bit at a time, here's the first department, here's some evidence that you start being familiar with. So that's about preparing your analysis today into the preseason. And all the rest I'm going to tell you about for your more experienced debaters, which is something that I think you may use in the year to come. So, and this is really a model for you. If you and your students want to write an affirmative case that you're on from scratch, this is a model for that. Step one, you would have a brainstorming discussion and talk about possible affirmative case areas that people might use, that you might want to use, possible case areas. And you can say, what changes could we make in American schools to increase academic achievement? And it should be possible for your students and you to generate various ideas. In selecting an idea, and remember we're talking here about perhaps your more advanced debaters in time to come, I'll give you just some basic advice on selecting case areas. It should be one for which there is a literature. It should be one for which there is a literature. Right? We have Cheerios at every lunch, so many people learn about. Well, I'm not sure that there's any articles on that. Right? It needs to be something that you'll be able to find some information about. Hopefully, you'll have to prove to the state that this program will work, and that will necessitate some literature. So there needs to be some literature. It needs to be preponderantly affirmative. It needs to be preponderantly affirmative. The literature should say that it would be a good idea to do this. If there are three authors who say it's a terrible idea for everyone that says it's a good idea, it should tell you that that may not be a good affirmative case idea to examine. The next one is, I always try to pick a case area, affirmative case for my marker disease that's different from what everyone else can say. Now the reason for this is, if many of the schools are running kind of a single affirmative case, everyone else is going to prepare for what they're most likely to debate. And if you're the only one to run a specific affirmative case and use it, it's harder for other people to target you and say, and you're less likely to have prepared negative arguments by the other team. But for example, in Baltimore, all of them are running this case about single gender schools. The single gender schools are good. So that's the last affirmative case I'm ever going to use in Baltimore, because everybody's going to be prepared to debate. So pick something that everybody's not going to be prepared to debate, and the negative will be less prepared. Also, pick something that either terminus or avoids what you think will be the most popular negative arguments. What will be the most popular negative arguments? This year, I think it's pretty clear that the most popular negative argument that they'll be able to use all the time is have the states do it instead of the federal government. And that the states are better because that maintains the balance of power in the federal system. I'm not particularly fond of that argument because I'd like the students to debate about schools and educational issues instead of jurisdictional issues. But in the broader debate community, I think that's going to be the most popular negative approach. So I would want to make an affirmative case that either totally avoids it or actually turns it, right? That, oh no, the result of our plan is that they do get more power. So that you actually turn the argument back on them. And I think that's really useful, that people will just blindly use the argument that they use most often, and then in your case, lands it, then you're set for a lot of sweet, easy victories against teams that aren't thinking about that. So that's the first one. You might brainstorm about some ideas. After you have some ideas, you might finalize the last create a very small number of finalists for an appropriate case, two or three ideas, and then you can move on to step two, which would be to you and the students together might want to investigate the literature about it. You might want to do a web search. You might go to the library and see if you can find some recent books on that particular topic. If you're not doing research, you're just scouting. You're doing your record, as they would say in English. You're reconnoitering and checking out the layer to layer to see if it's good. After you've had some investigation, those people who have been investigating the literature with you and your debaters and others who are interested should have a meeting, and you should review what you found and then choose the affirmative case that you want to list. And choose the affirmative case you want to write. If you don't know the affirmative case you want to write, you've seen the literature and thought about the arguments. This way also, you sort of bring the students on board as being part of the process. Instead of just saying, here's your affirmative case for you. It's something that they're involved in, and if they write it, they'll understand it, they'll do a better job. One of the things that we're working on in the New York Urban Trade League this next year is getting the students more involved in building their arguments, because I think they can really benefit a lot from that. So you would review the possibilities, you would choose the community. The fourth step would be to assign literature areas for research. Assign literature areas for research. And you would say, and then you would do it like this, okay, we're going to do a case about guaranteeing hot breakfast for every high school student. That they learn better if they have breakfast. Study shows, more breakfast, learn better. And so your affirmative case is that you decide to take it really have hot breakfast. Nobody else is running it. There's already a federal breakfast and lunch program. So it's not really an invasion of federal power. And so you would say, okay, well, Lucas, why don't you two go to look at books in the library that are about nutrition and learning. You two can go to look for recent articles on, you know, on nutrition and education and about breakfast in the school, and you should do a web search of newspapers. A lot of many, many newspapers now have articles on the web about it, and so divide it up like literature areas, which is much easier than saying, okay, all of you go out and research breakfast. Right, that's not going to work. So they do literature areas. And after that's done, they bring it back to you. They bring what they find back to you. And hopefully they've already read through it and drafted it what they think is evidence. And there, what you do is, you need to look at it and approve it before they go any further. You need to look and see that, well, okay, let me see your research. You can do this at a meeting. This doesn't take that long. Okay, Joe, what did you find? Lisa, what did you find? Let's look at it. You can look through it quickly and decide, well, have they really read it? Does it look like they drafted things that are really evidence? And this is after they've had the evidence exercises we talked about, so they sort of know what evidence is, or they were here at the Debate Institute, so they know something about doing research. So you need to approve it, but I think this is where you can help them learn the research, and also when you get a sense of what they have and what they don't have, so you get a feel for it. And it doesn't take very long to look through articles when you're only looking for what they drafted, or you can find, wow, here's a section all about hot breakfast that you didn't even read. And you'll divide it, and then tell them to go ahead and process that evidence. What that means is they need to write out a citation for each evidence card, and this is what they've been doing in the research groups here, so they should know how to do that. And then they write out a tagline for what the argument is that the evidence supports. Then they cut that out with a little photocopy or whatever the original and tape them together, so you wind up having a tag, a citation, and then some bit of text, and you can take them together. And that's now a full, fully operative argument, citation, evidence, data. After they process it, It's on the stage six. Sort of. The best that happens to sort of is my stock issues. Right? This is the evidence that says that there's a way to school. We need school lunch. School breakfast, excuse me. This is the evidence that explains we don't have a house. That's a guarantee. This is the evidence that says that school breakfast programs can be successful. And then, of course, we want evidence like students like it, they'll eat it. Right? That the foods are good for them, whatever. That defends it sort of against possible negative attacks. And then the final problem you would have would be negative. Because you want to always find the negative evidence about your own affirmative case so you can anticipate what the other side is going to do. So, you would sort the evidence based on stock issues, is what I'm saying. While you do that, you also want to look carefully at the evidence that you might want to use in your first affirmative instruction. Now, really good piece of evidence that explains the ideas. A good piece of evidence that explains the stress cycle study that shows how breakfast improves learning. And when you sort of the evidence, you look for the very best pieces of evidence that you'd like to have in your first affirmative speech. And you pull those out as they come by and have a little separate category for them. So you don't have to go, okay, now what sort of goal we put in our first affirmative. Do that while you're sorting. It's a lot easier than having to go back to them again. Then when you sort them, they're in files. Then you can give them to students to breathe. Here's our evidence, and that's the next stage. Breathe them down. The brief. So what happens is, students get, you give to, you take two students and say, here's all the evidence that says our plan works. Group it together conceptually, and put each of the major concepts on a separate page to make proofs. And also, think about what arguments the negative plan makes, about why our plan won't work, and try to anticipate those. Now, they will write some briefs, and you can find advice on how to help them write them more effectively. Just take a scrap piece of paper, and the students have the evidence they want to put on the brief, and have them write, here's the first piece of evidence we want to use. They can put letters on the back of the evidence, 1, 2, 3, and put first we want to use this one, then this one, then this one, then this one. And they would write the title of the whole brief on the top. And then fold it up in a piece of paper, write the name of the brief on the top, and then give it to you. And you can look at it and go, well, this one looks good. Or, no, I don't think so. Right? This is a negative evidence, excuse me, this is a breakfast is bad. We don't want that in there. Or you can say, well, we have too many pieces of evidence. Let's just pick the best three. Or the best four and get the rest of them out of here. Because the problem with having bad evidence, weak evidence, is that your students might actually read it at some point in the debate. So often the best thing to do for some pieces of evidence is to destroy it before someone reads it. Bad evidence is to destroy it before, get rid of it. Don't just brief evidence because you have it and you want to produce a lot of pages. Because that's not the way to go. You want to make sure that the best evidence is there. And if it looks good, you can say, okay, fine, it looks good. Build it, tape it down, and bring it back to me on a piece of paper already to train you. So that you have sort of an approval process here as well. Now, sometimes, let me just say this now because I'm interested. Sometimes if you have a student that you know how to act together, you don't need to approve their briefs. Because you know they're okay, and other students you know are having a problem conceptualizing this, and you may have to oversee their bit more closely. Yes,
sir. Who wants to do for instance, so what they're writing on paper to make a card for them, is how they're going to be using it in their game?
Yeah, one of the time would be, how to use it in the order that they want to be for them, the most
involved in that.
Yeah. And then it comes out looking like, the brief that we'll be getting in the abstract, it'll have a title, and then it'll have three of these sentences on. And generally, you would put the best piece of evidence first. So then they only have time to use one to make sure that they use the best. Final stage here is when you get the pages that are done, you organize them conceptually, put all the significant briefs together, put all the energy briefs together, all of them. Then go through and number the pages. This is the way you will see that if you've looked at any of the evidence submissions that have been turned out, you'll see that they're all numbered. It really helps. So the student can say, I lost page 41. It says, oh, I lost that page, that's what it looks like. And you can tell me if you put them back in order. And also you might produce an index, which is just the title of each of the pages. It's pretty easy. Your students can do that. They can number it. So you should probably make sure they're in the right order and just organize conceptually together. And then, so it's index, number, print, distribute. Now, I know that you're going to face problems on your campuses with photocopying and access to photocopying, and that's going to be an issue that I know Will and Emmanuel are working on how to get you more support in that area because you need photocopying in order to have a way to distribute the material to your students for them to use. So that's how you would strategically put together an affirmative case. And a lot of what I'll be pointing later will be repeats of this as we go through the process on other pages. Let's talk about what to do to get ready for the negative. Let's talk about what to do to get ready for the negative. For the negative, here's what I do. I will look at the topic and I will determine what do I think the case areas will be. In the handbook that each of your students have received, there's a little introductory reading about school reform that says that there are five categories of school reform. The city grades in the 80s and 90s, those are pretty good categories. Almost all affirmative cases fall into one of those categories. So you're not making a list of all possible affirmative cases. You may look at that some people will change curriculum. Some people will change the organization of the school. These block scheduling, closed campus, bright uniforms. Some changes will be about teachers and staff. And some will be about school finances, whether they have enough money or should schools be financed by vouchers. So you can get categories. So then there are five categories of affirmative cases, and you compare it negatively to the base in those five. You're pretty set. You may not have evidence precisely about the kind of curriculum they want to change, but you'll have a strategy about how to attack cases that just change the curriculum in the school, so you'll be able to debate. Our goal is maybe you want to have an arsenal of arguments that are sufficient for your students to be able to debate, so they have something to say in every debate. Especially pre-season, you don't know what everyone's going to say. So, look at case areas. Second thing you would do is you would have an argument brainstorm. And you would think about potential negative positions that you could present. And this idea for this session can come from various institutions. The one you went to, the other institutes that you'll be receiving case information from. For example, when we meet you in August, I'll be able to bring you a list of all the arguments produced by all the high school debate institutes all over America. So you get an idea of what's going on. And then also your own ideas that you come up with, you will then at the institute, you will start having some thoughts, of course, about how you'd like to change education. So you would have a little brainstorm to see what kind of arguments you have. The problem is, well, like any brainstorm, you develop lots of ideas. Some of them are fairly weak. Some of them are okay. And then you would boil down to the ones you think are pretty good. Now remember, because you have institute evidence, you already have some stuff. But you'll want to redo it. Second thing you would do, third thing you would do, that's right, that's the number three. You would sort your arguments that you decided you liked by case areas. Sort your arguments by case areas. In other words, you would look and say, well, we really like this disadvantage about whatever, right? Parent backlash. And then you would look at the five case areas and say, well, would parent backlash work here? No. Will parent backlash work in case area number two? Well, yes, it's this time. How about case area number three? Oh, yes. Right? Parents, many parents would be very unhappy if that happened. So you see what I mean? Then you're able to go through the thing, well, we have lots of arguments for case area number one, lots of arguments, but we don't have any for case area number three. So it tells you whether your arguments that you like are sufficient to cover the landscape. So you decide whether you can have, you know, whether the arguments that you like are what you'll need to debate against whatever people are saying. And then you might say, well, we shouldn't waste time doing these, we have, you know, these six arguments only apply to one case area. So we shouldn't waste our time on these. Let's pick the best three, and then we need to find some others that apply to different case areas. Next thing you would do then, after you pick them, pick a small number. Emphasize arguments that work in a number of different case areas. Since if you can have your students work on one argument and it applies to four different types of cases, that's a really good one. It's effective. The time they put into it, they'll be able to use it, and it will pay off. Instead of spending all their time on something that's only going to work against one type of case that people might not use. So think about what in deciding what to choose. Then after you've chosen the ones that you like, you would assign research areas. Now, there are two types of research that you should do. One is that you should use the evidence you already have. Let's say that you and your students want to use this argument about teacher unions will be very unhappy about the plan, and they'll make a lot of trouble, and that will hurt the schools. Okay? That's your argument. Well, the first thing you would do is, when there's a teacher union argument produced at the Institute, you would make a photocopy of it. Just one, remember, keep your original, so let them have it. And cut it up. Cut all the evidence up. Right? So that the students can rebuild it. Also, have them go and do their own research on this area. So that then they have some of their research and they have some from the Institute, and then they can put it all together to make their own argument.